Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. My guest this evening is Phelim O'Neill, the Markets Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Phelim, you're actually from a small farming background in County Tyrone, so when it comes to cross-border matters, you're pretty au fait with exactly what's going on, as we are on the eve now of this Brexit vote, so much at stake for Irish agriculture.
That's true. I born in County Tyrone between Ballygolly and Aher, now live in Omagh, and work with the Irish Farmers Journal based in Dublin. So if you like, I'm very much a cross-border traveller every week in life. It's part of my job, and live in one jurisdiction, work in the other. So I suppose I've more than a passing interest in the vote that's taken place today that we're waiting on the outcome of in a few hours' time. And it certainly has serious implications, not just, I suppose, for people that travel back and forth across the border, but has serious implications for agriculture in general. And it's a two-way street because over half of all beef that's produced in the Republic of Ireland is sold in the UK, so it's the main market by a large distance. And then on the other hand, a third or thereabouts of Northern Ireland-produced milk is processed by companies south of the border. And indeed, someone like a third of Northern Ireland lambs would make their way south for processing as well. So in the context of agriculture across the species, there's a huge cross-border flow of trade. And anything less than a common market is at best going to have a disruptive effect on that.
From a Donegal point of view, in years past, of course, there were checkpoints at borders, and that slowed things down for anybody going to or from Dublin and coming through the north. And really, it's the last thing anybody wants to see again.
Well, no doubt for commerce, and particularly for a county like Donegal, who has such a huge, I don't think there's any county in the Republic of Ireland that has as large a frontier with the border with Northern Ireland, with the UK. So in the context of Donegal, so much of your commerce, so much of your trade, it's either into Northern Ireland itself or indeed in transit through Northern Ireland to Dublin. Now, in the past, of course, we had the security issues and all of that. Thankfully, that is no more, and hopefully that will continue to be the case. But if you do have any type of customs arrangement, and again, those of us that remember life before the single European market of 1992, we remember the well-known phrase in industry and commerce about clearing customs with lorry loads, or indeed just van loads of production from one side of the border to another. And that was a process that involved queuing up at a customs clearance agent, getting the paperwork sorted out. Inevitably, it took hours. Inevitably, it was queuing. It was a lot of downtime. And what might have been the case just of sending something from Letterkenny across to Strabane?
Now, apart from the whole trade side of things, there's areas like animal health, and there could be big changes there if Britain leaves.
Absolutely. It's part of the EU policy that we're working towards a single standard within the European Union. Currently, for example, all agri-food commodities and produce that are produced in the meat factories and the creameries on the island of Ireland are treated as being produced to the same standard. They are produced to the same European standard. If there's a divergence where the UK breaks away and Ireland continues as part of the European Union, well, then it, of course, will remain part of that standard. But over time, there is always at least the possibility of a divergence of standards between UK and Ireland, and that can involve certification, it involves negotiation of treaties and agreements. And to be quite honest, there's little point speculating as to what those might be. The reality is the discussion would have to take place. With that, at the very best, you have a degree of uncertainty. You're not going to better the arrangement that you have at the moment from an agri-food point of view. What we have at the moment is a common market where the island of Ireland is treated as the one trade zone, as the one economic zone, although it is part of two jurisdictions. And the fact is that if you move out of the present common market situation that we have there, any new arrangement inevitably will have some sort of restrictions on it. And that has to be a concern to those of us that are involved in trade in this industry.
And of course, if there is a vote in favour of leaving, nothing's going to happen overnight. We're talking about a time frame of 2 years or so, isn't that right?
That is what the Treaty of Rome stipulates, that where a member elects to leave the European Union, that there's a two-year window to negotiate that. I expect that's something that can be somewhat flexible, and there's no doubt that if it does come to that, there will be a negotiation, there will be arrangements, whatever they might be. It's very difficult to gauge what the mood music will be, how European countries, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, etc., will look at it. You know, sometimes we think that on the island of Ireland, we had a very close relationship with Britain prior to joining the European community. In fact, we joined on the exact same day back in 1973. But the reality is it won't really be what Ireland wants. It's what the other remaining 27 member states of the European Union want, and how willing they will be to do a sweetheart deal, if you like, for Ireland. It very much remains to be seen. Would French farmers, for example, or indeed Italian or German farmers, want to get a special deal that that assisted Irish farmers over and above them? You could certainly speculate that they wouldn't. So that all remains to be seen as part of the uncertainty that a vote to leave would bring if it happens.
Another area that's certainly causing some unease, the whole area of currency and fluctuations, and we've seen the sterling moving up and down in recent weeks, and again there's a knock-on effect for the Irish farmers here.
Very much so, and that's something that affects day-to-day market trading prices. Since the start of 2016, whenever this vote became a reality, we have seen a huge swing in the exchange rate between sterling and the euro, which is the one that primarily concerns us. We had a situation where much of last year that it was roughly in the region of 70 cents to the pound sterling, and that made it fairly straightforward, much easier, and a much more benign arrangement for Irish exporting companies into the UK, that their goods and produce was much more competitive. We've seen then, within a matter of weeks in 2016, that exchange rate jumped from about 70 to upwards of 80, and it has traded in the high 70s for a long period. And that then all of a sudden makes Irish exports into the sterling zone much less competitive, much more expensive, relatively speaking, to get the same amount of euros for them. And that weakens our trading position somewhat there. Now, in recent weeks, we've seen a huge swing anywhere from upwards of 80 back down to 75. And just as opinion polls have come out and different swings have taken place in what way people think the vote's going to go, so the rate of exchange has fluctuated. And again, when you think that over half of our beef sales over half of the beef sales in the Republic of Ireland are into the UK, then you can see just what the significance of that is. And similarly, and of course it works the other way around for produce coming north. The last thing they want is a weak sterling. Their sales going south are equally implicated whenever the exchange rate fluctuates.
Now, staying with beef and other markets, I read this week that there was 6 million euros worth of beef exported to the United States in the first quarter, and Donegal TD Charlie McConnellogue had actually asked a parliamentary question about that, which I think it's a growing market. I think it was just under 12 million last year. Is it as big a market as perhaps it was made out to be when the announcement came last year?
No, I think it's fair to say that judged in the whole, that the development of the business with the United States has been slower than expected, and certainly much less in value terms. I think it was estimated by the government, by the then government, back a year ago, whenever the market opened first, that they would expect in the first year to achieve sales somewhere in the region of 100 million. Now, the fact is that it's about 10 or 15% of that has to represent a disappointment, therefore. The reason why sales have been relatively slow and relatively low volume is the fact that the Irish approval for exports to the United States, it doesn't cover manufacturing beef. That is really the beef from the forequarter of the animal that's ground up or minced up and used in burgers and used in pies, etc., used in dice and all of that. Unless the beef is going out as whole muscle for roasting, stewing or steak cuts, then we don't have approval for that. Now, the reason for that is somewhat complicated. I suppose the American production system and the European production systems are very, very different. Whenever a beef carcass comes around the line and the hide's removed and it comes from the lairage where the animal's standing in, if you like, farm-type conditions, it moves from that into sterility, into an ultra-clean factory zone. And in that process, in the process of hide removal, there's great care taken in the European Union and factories, and that's a major issue, and why cattle have to be presented for slaughter with clean hides, that there isn't contamination gets onto the carcass, because with that contamination comes the risk of E. coli. Now, in a European Union context, the view is very much taken by a prevention view. That means that we do everything within our power to prevent any contamination reaching the carcass. But the belt and braces approach is that all beef is sold in the European Union, particularly in the manufacturing beef, that it has to be cooked to a certain temperature that kills any risk if anything should be there. The Americans take a totally different approach. They take the, whereas Europe takes a prevention approach, America takes the intervention approach, and they basically douse the carcass with lactic acid, and then they have a further intervention again whenever the beef is being cut up and ground up and into cuts. They douse it again to make sure that they kill any contamination that happens to exist on it. Now, that gives them a much higher and greater chance of a more sterile product than what we produce. Why that's important, the American way of cooking burgers tends to be a much more rare burger. They tend to leave them pink, whereas in Europe, the cooking advice is always to cook it fully through. So in that context, we have been unable to find an arrangement, a mutually acceptable arrangement, because there's a general, just as with hormones and growth promoters in the European Union, there's a general unacceptance amongst our big customers about using lactic acid. They simply don't want it used in our carcass. They prefer the arrangement we have. So we have to try and find an arrangement where we can give the Americans what they want and the level of sterility, if you like, in the product that will allow them to continue cooking in the way that they want. So far, we haven't found the answer to that. We're not quite sure when we will. I know various proposals have been made by the department in Dublin to the authorities in the United States. But as of now, that's a process that has been ongoing for several months, and I'm not aware that we're anywhere near a conclusion of that. So in terms of volume sales, it's a very long-winded answer to your question, and apologies for that. But in terms of volume sales in the United States, we've really been limited to trading a few cups. Now, it's a welcome market, it's a useful market, it's a high-value market, but in terms of a volume market, it represents a tiny fraction of 1% of our total exports.
Well, from looking west to America, turning east and Turkey, I was reading during the week that Finnish beef in Turkey making €8 a kilo. Why is the price so high, and are there opportunities there for Ireland to export to?
The reason why the price is so high is quite precisely because there are very limited opportunities for countries, including Ireland, to export into that market. Turkey, like indeed Switzerland, like indeed Norway, who are part of the fringe of the European Union and that they participate in trade agreements at a particular level without, of course, the ability to influence them, but they don't extend those to meat and to agri-food produce. They operate a very protected market where they basically provide a guaranteed high-value market for their farmers, for their own domestic production. And that means that they basically close it off to imports, unless at times when that market, when the price gets exceptionally high and very expensive, or the scarcity of supply, then they will switch on the tap or open it a little bit to allow some imports in. And that's the opportunity that has emerged for Ireland now for a limited number of cattle starting this summer. So the very reason why it's such a strong and valuable market is basically because the old rules of supply and demand, that the demand for beef in Turkey is kept comfortably ahead of the supply that's available. And that supply is primarily provided by the domestic Turkish farmers.
I'm speaking with Philem O'Neill, market specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Just turning to the sheep sector, prices at the start of the year were pretty good.
Yes, it had been up until very recently, actually until this last couple of weeks. It had been quite a promising year for the sheep meat sector. And I suppose, indeed, when you look across the commodities, like, it's been a particularly difficult time for the milk farmers, for the dairy industry. It's been a serious difficult time for the pig farmers. Beef hasn't been anything special. I suppose the fact is that everything else has been so bad, it's really kept our minds off us. But it's still a very, very low margin business in terms of profitability. And relative to all of those, I suppose sheep meat, you could say, has performed relatively well so far this year. Now, it's certainly taken a hit this last number of weeks. We have went from 5.50 euro per kilo down to, this week, I believe, below the 5, perhaps as low as 4.80-50. It is quite a hit for sheep producers. I suppose the hope would be in the sector that in a couple of weeks' time that will stabilise and we will be able to maintain prices somewhere up in the region approaching 5 euros per kilo. Another announcement that was made last week, we carried extensive coverage of it in the journal, and something a bit ironic now when you look at how prices have fallen in the last 10 days or so, that the Irish meat processing industry published a plan whereby they want to have produced another million lambs per year to enable them to grow the sector, to grow the export business. They say that if they have a better supply of lamb on a year-round basis, that would enable them to take the peaks and troughs out of the supply to allow them to develop more consistent markets and more consistent demand. I suppose from a farmer perspective, looking at that through the farmer's eyes, the first inclination would be say, look, show me the money. And I think when you look at what's happened in the market over the past 10 days, certainly you could say the timing of the launch of that publication, and a very worthy publication, a very ambitious publication that it is, and indeed the meat processing industry to be commended for that. But the reality is, when you look at that through a farmer's eyes, and you see the effect that an extra few thousand lambs has had in the market in the past couple of weeks, then you can see why there could be a bit of skepticism, saying, now, where in the name of heaven are they going ahead with an extra million lambs?
Phelim O'Neill there, the market specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, just time to give you some advance notice that National Farm Safety Week takes place from the 4th to the 8th of July, and National Farm Safety Day is on July the 21st. To coincide with this, the following companies are offering a discount on PTO shafts and covers: Arrivo, McGinty Tractors, Donegal Farm Machinery, Cowan Brothers, Inishowen Tractors, Donegal Tractors, and Lennon Agricultural Supplies. Well, that's it for tonight's show. From me, Chris Ashmore, many thanks for listening. From Farming News and Views, until next week, goodbye.